Hello, this is BitDepth number 1407, which appeared in Trinidad and Tobago News Day on May 22, 2023, under the headline, Unmasking the Pandemic. I'm the author, Mark Lindesay. It was even stranger, just over 3 years later, and at the end of it all, to set the mask aside than it had been to put it on. After the initial breathlessness and fogged spectacle lenses, to walk into a store now or approach a group on masks feels naked, like a dream of showing up at school having forgotten to put on trousers. The two original cloth masks, still with their terry cloth inserts, still hang on the wall behind me. Long replaced with proper KN95 jobs, I'd considered sending them to the frame shop to be properly immortalized for their role in getting the family from there to here. Then I'd stop and wonder if that wouldn't be pulling the devil's toe, indulging in hubris and overconfidence, even if almost everyone had checked their masks. COVID was fierce in my circles. Both of my siblings in the US were infected. Among my secondary school classmates, a shrinking group of around 35, three died from the virus. So I have little patience with COVID deniers, who are entitled to their opinions, but not my audience. Carnival 2023 seemed like a good benchmark to gauge both the pervasiveness and strength of the virus. The event ended up being the mother-in-law of all carnivals. Some unkind souls use a foul maternal invective to describe the celebration, but it also acted as a bellwether on the status of COVID-19 in Trinidad and Tobago. So I sat out this year's festival, not out of the occasional disinterest and petulance that's haunted my feelings about it prior to 2020, but out of caution. What followed over the festival is a matter of Ministry of Health record. On February 14th, there were 135 cases being tracked by the Ministry of Health. Of those, 42 required hospitalization. The February 21st report dropped the number to 35 active cases. A week later, the active case count was 396. Then a week after that, 496. A fortnightly increase of 1,317%. 2 weeks after that, the active case count dropped to 210. On May 4th, the Director General of the WHO announced that COVID-19 was no longer being managed as a public health emergency and was now considered an ongoing health issue. The May 2nd Ministry of Health report lists 28 active cases, with 24 requiring hospitalization. It would be the last report. The Ministry of Health has since stopped COVID-19 reporting. Barring any terrible mutation, COVID-19 seems destined to become another endemic annoyance, flaring up from time to time and requiring public health reminders. The virus clearly hasn't gone away, but it isn't the mortal threat it was in March 2020. Between April 17th and May 14th, 2.6 million new cases and 17,000 deaths were reported, with concentrations in Southeast Asia and the Western Pacific. So I hold a mask in my back pocket, alert to situations in which there seem to be too many people, too close together, shouting entirely too loudly. 3 years of concern over potentially lethal, invisible life forms should have left us a little bit wiser about the value of common sense hygiene, but those prophylactic measures are disappearing all around us, relics of fear when the world hid from unseen terrors. What should we have learned from almost 3 years of bunkered terror? I have developed a personal appreciation for masks as a barrier for microparticles, of which viruses are only one. If nobody else will say it, I will. Medical doctors, particularly calmed, reasoned, and sensible ones, are a resource we take for granted until they are called on to reassure an entire nation. Trinidad and Tobago is quite lucky to have so many. But the country is at risk of losing much of what was learned by force during the pandemic. During World War II, returning bombers were analyzed for weaknesses. The concentrations of bullets and flak holes in their fuselage suggested that those were the spots that needed better armor. But statistician Abraham Wald pointed out that the returning bombers were an illustration of everywhere the aircraft could be hit and still fly. It was everywhere else that needed to be armored, because planes hit in those areas did not return. It's called survivor bias theory, and it warns of the error of examining what worked to find solutions instead of understanding what went wrong and led to failures. Why did 2,800 children drop out of primary and secondary school during the pandemic? Why were so many of the country's 4,390 fatalities attributed to comorbidities? And which specific non-communicable diseases made these patients so vulnerable? The profiles on possible inequities that fueled those numbers is worth investigating. It's human nature to salute everything that went well, but those are the bullet holes of COVID-19. We need to catalog and dissect the errors that led to these terrible numbers. Greater resilience has to be built into the country's systems, from governance and education to commerce. The pandemic tested TNT's approach to all three and found each to be wanting. The lasting lesson of the pandemic is that as a nation, we need to be prepared to move faster and more decisively to identify problems, craft solutions, and implement them. Let's Find Out should become a codicil to the national motto. The leisurely pace of government planning and infrastructure collapsed globally in the face of the speed and ruthlessness of COVID-19. Action had to be taken during uncertainty, and some of it was misplaced and in error, but it was by moving quickly that the world began to understand what worked and what didn't. These are the lessons that need to stick. Meanwhile, keep a mask handy. The print version of this column was trimmed to meet column lengths for the newspaper. This reading by the author is the complete version of the column. The song, Wonderland, composed and performed by Peter Shim, is used with his kind permission. This column and other technology reporting archives are also to be found at technewsct.com. Thanks for listening.